When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record. Well, again, I'm recording in my studio instead of in my car today, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And recording in my studio mostly out of expediency today, but I don't think anybody's going to complain because the audio quality is a little bit better when I record this way. You don't hear me popping my peas as much. So what am I thinking about today? Well, I'm going to jump off some thoughts that was that Kevin and I were covering in today's Art and Story Extreme over at cvcomics.com/extreme, where we were talking a little bit about snarkiness. And I admit that I kind of backpedaled on my own thoughts on the issue, mostly because it was a reaction to me feeling that I was getting a little bit preachy. And I think there's a difference between being ranty and being preachy. Ranty is expressing a sense of outrage or dissatisfaction with something that you feel is a flawed way of thinking. Preachy is telling somebody else how to feel. And I know it's a dicey line to walk on, I find, because on the one hand, you wouldn't be coming to these podcasts if you didn't enjoy hearing what I thought about these kind of things. But on the other hand, you don't. I personally, as an audience, when I'm listening to shows, even if when I do respect somebody's opinion and enjoy hearing their thoughts on something, when I feel that they're starting to yell at me a little bit, I tend to get a little bit uncomfortable with that. So it's a difficult line that I find myself walking, and I don't always feel that I do it well. And I think this was a situation where I'm not entirely sure about how I handled it, and I'm just sharing this is a way to be a little bit more candid with you guys through these microcasts. I enjoy getting a little bit more candid with you guys, as a matter of fact. But anyway, the topic of snarkiness versus being sincere. I think there's something in the zeitgeist right now. I think sincerity is coming a little bit back into fashion, and I think it's probably a little bit to do with a reaction to the snarkiness of the internet. There's only so much we can take of people being sarcastic and snide with one another. And while I don't think we're going to enter any kind of utopian future of everybody being sincere and honest with one another, I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. I do think sincerity is a little bit due for a comeback. And and Lord knows you've all heard me harp on enough about sincerity and compassion in the past. But the talk I had with Kevin and the related talk I was having with Sean Robert of BrandedInThe80s.com on Twitter. He's Smurfruck on the Twitter, by the way, if you're not following him. He's a pretty cool guy, and he writes really interesting stuff on his blog. It got me to thinking about how snarkiness and its sort of related, or how snarkiness can be inferred as a sort of defensiveness, a preemptive defensiveness about your thoughts and your own sense of creativity and what you celebrate in life. What's the opposite of that? Well, the opposite is as I was saying, sincerity. How do you get in touch with that sincerity? How do you keep a hold of it? How do you not let it go in your life? And I've got a story to share about something I think about a lot in order to keep that sense of sincerity in my own creative mode. And leading up to that, I want to share a little thought about a cartoon series called Robotech. And why am I going to talk about Robotech? Well, first of all, because Carl Masek, one of the people chiefly responsible for bringing the Robotech series to the United States, he passed away last week or the week before, and I'd kind of like to share a few thoughts about him and what Robotech meant to me, partially because, you know, his passing means something to me, but also because it ties into this whole notion of the sincerity thing. So what was Robotech, for those who haven't heard of it? Robotech was a series of three Japanese cartoons. If I remember right, it was called Macross, and then there was a second series called Southern Cross, and a third series called Maspiada. completely unrelated to each other in Japan. Well, Masek took them and brought them to the United States and rewrote the series so that they were all tied together in a continuity. And this would be like 1984, 1985, somewhere in the neighborhood when I first got exposed to these shows. And it was a bit of a lightning bolt moment for me. Up until that time, I had been watching episodic Saturday morning fare, Plastic Man, The Super Friends, Wheelie and the Chopper Bunch. A lot of go to BrandonInThe80s.com actually to learn more about these early 80s cartoons. And these shows were, like I said, very episodic. The reset button was hit at the end of every episode. You left the characters pretty much in the place where they began at the end of each episode. It usually ended with a little, kind of a joke at the end. And everybody would laugh as the camera panned back from a three-quarter down shot. And I find that kind of storytelling incredibly charming. And I think that there is a wonderful challenge that is presented to a writer when you are forced to tell a very succinct story with vibrant characters in it. Even if you do reset the button at the end and leave, essentially don't change the characters in a drastic way, I think there's a charm to that because it makes the characters sort of timeless. They can go on and on and on. That's not to say that I think it's better than long-form continuity-driven storytelling. It has its own powers. If SpongeBob is always SpongeBob, then there's this sort of expectation that's delivered or presented at the outset of each episode. And you know that when you come back next week, SpongeBob's going to be the SpongeBob you know and love. You don't have to worry about missing an episode. And oh, no, now it's like Lost. If I don't watch from episode one, I'm not going to enjoy it anymore. So that's the charm I find there. But Robotech was new, and it hit me at just the right time. I was just getting old enough and sophisticated enough in my thinking to be ready for this series, the science fiction series. It was a war story, and it was a bit of a soap opera. It was a coming-of-age story for the main character, Rick Hunter. It was a coming-of-age story for his eventual love interest, Lisa Hayes. Sorry if I spoiled something. But it was also a soap opera in that Rick Hunter was, for the two-thirds or maybe more of the first arc, the Macross arc, he was pining after this girl named Minmay, who had her own problems. And they could never quite get together. And meanwhile, he's slowly developing an affection for this young, strong, but vulnerable first officer of the SDF-1, this battleship they lived on, named Lisa Hayes. And there was all these great developments as we watched Rick Hunter grow as a character. He starts out being this snotty, kind of overconfident brat character, but he's exceedingly talented. He's a great pilot. But as he gets involved in the war, he joins the war sort of cavalierly. He joins the war effort because he wants to impress his love interest, Minmay. And as he excels in his field, he becomes a lieutenant, or he becomes a sergeant, then a lieutenant. He gets subordinates, and his friend Roy Fokker, who is sort of an advisor character to him, Roy Fokker dies, and that's a big turning point for Rick. And then even one of Rick's subordinates, Ben Dixon, dies later on in the series. And again, this was a huge eye-opening experience for me to watch a cartoon where life and death was really it was a reality in the story, and Rick changed as a character. He became more serious and more responsible as the series grew. And Lisa Hayes, who Rick initially calls an old sourpuss, he looks at her as an old lady, even though she's only a few years older than him. And she's really bossy, and she's a stickler for the rules. Eventually, she becomes more and more softer as a character, more vulnerable as a character, and Rick learns more about the pain that she's had to deal with in her losses through this ongoing war, when in the wars leading up to the alien war of the main series. And it really left a mark on me. It was a rich and, compared to episodic cartoon storytelling, it was a very rich and potent drama. For lack of a better term. I mean, it was a drama. I'm not going to apologize for that. It really was. And I think a lot of people who are fans of anime and the stuff that's come out of Japan would agree with me on that. But here's the story that I'm going to lead into in my talk about sincerity. There I was, 10 or 11 years old, somewhere in the neighborhood, and I'm watching this. And I just found the show by accident, flipping channels one day. And what did I see? I saw a science fiction war story with planes that turn into robots piloted by people fighting against 50-foot tall aliens and blowing up buildings left and right, and really exciting music and really just beautiful animation and characters that were really they had all of that wonderful sort of invitation to play act the way Saturday morning cartoons do, the way episodic stories do. But they also had real pain and real struggles. So it became that much more engrossing for me. And as I watched the first episode, or rather, actually, it was a mini movie of the series. I think it was called Clash of the Bionoids, but I could be wrong. It doesn't matter. It was sort of like the entire first arc of the story condensed down to an hour and 10-minute movie or something like that. And there I was, sitting on the couch watching it, and I got so excited. I was so juiced and pumped up from how incredibly engrossing this show was that I started jumping up and down on the couch. I mean, I literally did. I started jumping up and down on the couch, giving, you know, like a fist pump. Hi, oh yeah, that was awesome. And I pulled a muscle in my leg. I fell down on the floor. I got a Charlie horse, you know, that thing when you pull that muscle in the back of your thigh. It hurts like the end of the world. The first time that ever happened to me. I had no idea what was going wrong, what I did wrong. I thought maybe I broke my leg or something. Fell on the floor and I was laying there groaning in pain. Called my mom at work. What did I do? I broke my leg because I was excited about a cartoon. And that is as embarrassing as it may be to hear. That attitude persists today in me. I still react that way to really well done cartoon and comic book storytelling. A lot of you have heard me go on the Art and Story podcast about the Transformers animated series. That was a series where, when I first saw the designs, I thought, there's no way I'm going to enjoy this show. I can't stand to see the Transformers rendered in that sort of Tartakovsky animation style. And then I heard that theme song, and man, I would sit there and play the theme. Well, I got that theme song as a ringtone on my phone. It's one of my favorite songs ever, and whenever I hear it, I just want to go out and punch dinosaurs in the face. And it's that same feeling I had when I was jumping up and down on the couch that day when I pulled that muscle in my leg. And what has this got to do with sincerity? When I was jumping up and down on the couch and hurt myself, I wasn't thinking about being cool. I wasn't thinking about impressing anybody. I was caught up in a moment. I was lost in a moment. I was lost in a feeling of really exciting storytelling. And that is the feeling, I think, that fuels some of my best ideas. Whenever I come up with a really great idea that I'm really excited about, it's usually because I'm in that mindset. And that is why I keep coming back again and again to this idea of remembering what it's like when you were 8 to be a good writer. Now, it doesn't have to be 8. What I'm talking about here is getting into that mindset of when you are completely in possession of yourself to a degree, but more about forgetting about everybody else, losing touch with all of the world around you and just getting lost in something. We've talked about this on the Art and Story podcast before, this idea of how to recharge your batteries creatively, how to get out of a funk, how to get past writer's block, even though I don't think writer's block exists. How do you get through that? How do you get through that funk when every line you're throwing down on the page just isn't working out? Everything you draw just looks like crap. Well, for me, it's getting lost in that stuff again and getting in touch with that attitude I had when I was jumping up and down on the couch, because again, you're not thinking in any kind of critical way about yourself. You're not criticizing or judging any of your ideas. You're just excited. You're just full of unbridled enthusiasm. And whether you were 8 or 16 or 24 when there was that time in your life when you felt that way, that's the thing you got to get in touch with. And that's how you stay sincere, because sincerity is, you mean it. It's coming from your heart, your gut, or wherever it's coming from. It's coming from this place of non-critical thinking, non-judgmental thinking, and usually, in my experience, I have trouble finding the words to express what I'm talking about when I'm in that sort of mindset. It's just, I get so excited, I start talking so fast, it's so cool, and this is going to go like this, and this is going to go like that. Oh, man! You've heard me and Kevin go on like that on the show in the past. But that's that creative zone for me. And I think a lot of people know what I'm talking about. You can look in your own life and find that period of your life where you just were left with nothing but a sense of not breathy wonder, not looking up at the tree and going, that such a thing could exist and that I am here to witness it. Not necessarily that mouth-breathingly spiritual about it. But this, but that same kind of sense of a little kid. I do a lot of teaching with children, and they don't sit around going, "Oh, this is a dumb idea." Well, some do, but usually those are in schools and in situations where these kids have, I don't want to say troubled childhoods, but they live in a very prescriptive and strict kind of environment, or going to school in a strict environment. Like when I was teaching in Detroit, where it's a completely different school system than in other parts of the state of Michigan, where it's very no child left behind, standards-based education, there's no art program. Those kids worried about getting it right or getting it wrong. But in the school systems where the kids have an art program and these kids are actually encouraged to draw and reading is a cherished activity at home, these kids, they got a million ideas and none of them are dumb. A kid in one of my classes came up with a character named Top Hat Chicken Lord, and I asked the kid about that character. What is this guy's deal? He says, well, he's a chicken, he's the lord of a planet, and he wears a top hat, hence Top Hat Chicken Lord. And he justified it. And he didn't intellectually justify it. He just said, well, these are the reasons why, and I think it's cool, and I'm going to tell stories about this guy. That's the kind of mindset. I mean, now, this kid isn't writing Tolstoy here. He's writing something that's exciting to him, and that gets more ideas going so he can proceed on and keep working at it and not put the pencil down saying, this is no good, I give up. Whenever you're feeling that sense of, I give up, going back to my initial point at the top, this whole idea of snarkiness, this is one of the reasons I'm kind of suspicious and skeptical of leaning on sarcasm, snideness, and snarkiness too much, because that feels to me it's a defensive reaction. It's a way to protect yourself from looking foolish. It's a way to, well, unfortunately, it gets used to make other people feel bad about their ideas. And again, when I was jumping up and down on the couch, I wasn't thinking about being foolish. I was just thinking cool. So it's tough to find words to express a nebulous emotion like that. It's tough to find words to describe emotion in general. And words, as we know, are always provisional, but they are important. So I just thought I'd try to jot down a few notes for today's Thunder Punch Daily to try to get at the heart of this idea of what was going on in my head. And maybe as a reminder to me and to all of you that, those dark times do happen. But I think the cure for that situation is usually to get back in that mindset. And how do you do that? Put yourself in that place by either putting on whatever kind of entertainment, music, surround yourself, go to a place. I used to go back to my hometown. I just drive out there and just walk around the places I used to walk when I was a kid, when I came up with a lot of my characters. Sometimes that would do it too. Just whatever you can do to remind yourself of that mindset that you had in any given point in your life, where you were not thinking about what anybody else thought. You were caught up in that world of wonder and imagination. And usually you can get right back into the game again. It's not always easy, but it does work for me at least. And it's worked for a couple of my friends that I've talked to as well. So who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd of jdrozd.com. Jersey on the Twitter. Lots of other shows on Art and Story Supreme for you to check out. I'm going to be posting a video this next week. I'm actually documenting a commission that I'm doing for Jamie Gamble. And I videoed the inks, and I'm going to video the digital cleanup and the final half toning, and I should be posting that pretty soon. And Kevin and Mark are also going to be posting videos soon. Lots of great stuff to check out there. Oh, and Mark's office hours are coming up. Check out the forum on artandstorypodcast.com. Mark posted an update letting everybody know when he's going to be available to talk over Skype for those open office hours. So, and that all leads me to say thank you very much for your support. We couldn't do this without you. I know I say it all the time, but it bears repeating, because your financial support has made it possible for me to put aside paying work so that I could make more time for these podcasts, office hours, videos, etc. So, and I'm having a blast doing it, so I have to thank you for that. Okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
Well, Orko, Jeremy sure changed his ways.
Yeah, he was acting pretty rotten for a while. I think all he really wanted was for people to notice him. But what good does it do to be noticed if people don't like what they see?
That's right. The best way to get attention is not to look for it. By being polite and helpful, people will not only notice you, They'll like you, too.
I'm going to do something helpful right now.
What's that?
I'm going to say goodbye